Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Maxine Bly, CBI Commercial Director, delighted to be hosting this CBI SME webinar on cash flow resilience. Now we know it's an extremely challenging time to do business at the moment. Cost of business has risen and is rising sharply. And with inflation hitting a record 40-year high, further tough times ahead. Now we want you to know that how we can support business through this period is dominating CBI thinking at the moment. It's an absolute key focus for us. And with that in mind, this SME webinar looks to unpack the immediate threats and ongoing cost pressures of managing cash flow. So we'll explore how to manage the difficult balancing act of managing cash flow and use the opportunity to discuss the growth finance options available to you. So we're joined by two guest speakers today. Delighted that from the CBI, we have Chris Wolford, and we're also joined by Alex Beardsley. So let me start with Chris. Chris is our CBI Financial Services Policy Director. So he leads the Financial Services Policy Team, working with our business and our trade association members to shape a policy environment that promotes the UK's world-leading financial services industry, enables the sector to support growth across the whole economy. He's an experienced advisor to government and regulators and has contributed to a range of expert groups on innovation in FS, interest rate benchmarks, access to finance and digital currencies. He's been with us at the CBI since 2017 and previously sat on the CBI's SME Council as a member. And prior to joining the CBI, he established a policy function of the Global Professional Body for Private Dispute Resolution and worked at the Recruitment and Employment Confederation, as well as a parliamentary researcher in the House of Lords. So Chris, thank you for joining us today. We're also joined by Alex Beardsley. So Alex is joint founder and managing director of ABL Business. So ABL established in 2013 to help companies with a more strategic approach to finance, drawing on Alex's really extensive experience and background in marketing and commercial finance. And we work really closely with Alex at the CBI. And I know she's enabled her clients to continue to operate in the face of really extreme economic pressures over the last few years. So, Alex, again, really delighted. Thank you for joining us today. Just before I hand over to our speakers, in terms of how today will run, they're each going to provide a kind of 10-minute scene set opener, and then we'll open up for questions. So we're going to start off with Chris. So Chris is going to give us an overview of the current financial landscape and the cumulative burden that we know a lot of you are facing. He'll tell you more about what the CBI is doing to support firms in the short and long term and give you some insight on our latest conversations with government and where they're heading. So Chris, over to you.
Thanks very much, Maxine. So yes, I think it's worth looking at the situation SMEs are facing in the context of two primary areas, which is one, coming out of the pandemic and what a lot of firms still had on the books, having tried to survive throughout that period where the economy was sort of locked down and kind of put in hibernation. And then coming out of that, where we've had these whole supply chain pressures compounding those problems. So coming out of the pandemic, where there was a whole range of government interventions to help support businesses. We'll all be familiar with the job retention scheme, the furlough scheme, but also importantly, the around 80 billion in government guaranteed loans to nearly 1.7 million businesses. Now, firms coming out of that are with that debt burden were not only trying to manage their debt repayments, but there are a host of other areas as well that are sitting on the books. So things like tax deferrals, nearly 40 billion of things like VAT that were deferred throughout the pandemic, rent arrears. So people who had not had paying their rent throughout that period had had relevant suspensions. Now that is coming home to roost. And obviously the government set up a rent arbitration scheme between landlords and tenants to try and help manage some of those long distance things. But then also rising costs. And I think one of the first out of the block was actually insurance. So things like professional indemnity insurance, trade credit insurance, those prices increased significantly. And all of that in the mix added this huge sort of cash flow pressures on businesses, as well as the fact that they'd had to adopt their sort of operating models. So having to invest in new technologies and other things for working from home, for example, or changing how they were interacting with their customers. So with various coronavirus restrictions, making sure their places were safe places to work or safe places to serve their customers. So all of that cost pressure coming out of the pandemic has then been hit and sideswiped by some very challenging economic headwinds. We now all the way, you know, inflation at around 9%. Then we've got massive increases in energy bills with, you know, fourfold increases we're picking up, some even more dramatic. Energy intensive industries hit harder than most on that. Cost of living crisis becoming very real. So as we come out with that inflation adding to prices, people struggling to cope, managing their own costs, adding to this overall pressure on the customer base for a lot of SMEs as well. And then the supply chain challenges. So you'll be following in the press the massive China lockdowns that are happening at the moment, which is having huge implications for a lot of materials coming to the West and the UK in particular. But then, you know, people having to try and find other solutions and see how it goes. A friend of mine, he's an SME, runs a specialist tea company specializing in Sri Lanka. He has spent a month trying to get a container out. And whilst the demand is there, he simply can't fulfill those orders. So, you know, all of that adding to this sense of pressure and burden, and having to try and use working capital to find other solutions and bridge the gap. Alongside this, as well as the fundamentals of the business, it's finding people to work for you. So labor shortages have been a really dominant concern for firms of all sizes, but particularly for a lot of our SME members, trying to find people. You invest in the talent and then they go elsewhere for either a higher salary or other things. So trying to keep up with that pace. And it feels like we're on this relentless treadmill at the moment, you know, dealing with all those, the hangover from the COVID period, and now facing into all these other challenges. And tragically, the war in Ukraine has exacerbated a lot of these problems and really put a real test of resilience for firms as they sort of go. Now, whilst the firms themselves are dealing with all this, what we pick up from members is actually they do have the order books, the demand is there, it's a problem of fulfillment, but there's this sense that the wider environment is causing problems, and that whilst their own business might be doing quite well in itself, and they're trying to deal with these challenges and they're meeting those challenges, actually, should they be worried because the external environment is so bad? It's something I call perception versus reality. And what we see in a lot of our surveys and a lot of other industry surveys, for example, the SME Finance Monitor, the UK Finance and others, that's the industry body for the bank support, is finding that confidence is taking a real hit at the moment. So whilst their own business is doing okay, actually there's that sentiment that maybe I should be worried, and that is pushing the pause button on certain investments and committing to certain contracts and other things. So we've got this whole perception problem alongside some of these fundamental challenges in doing business. So what does that all mean for businesses? Well, I mean, the banks and others say credit conditions are relatively healthy. There was a Federation of Small Businesses survey out this week where actually they said that credit conditions and there had been an increase in declines for small businesses. Well, actually, a lot of that, when they dug into the data, was informal declines. So people actually thinking, I won't get the finance, and not actually applying in the first place. So it'd be interesting if Alex has got any thoughts on that in her segment. But again, that ties in with that perception point. But relatively, the credit conditions are okay. Firms are still sitting on their sort of cash balances, some of those pandemic savings, but things can change very quickly. As we're all aware, things can move very quickly. And if these perceptions become self-fulfilling on top of all these problems, then we have a real challenge ahead in trying to manage that cash flow balance. And firms, you know, really need to really carve out that time to think ahead about what is coming down the tracks. So taking all of this around, what can the CBI do to help? Well, one of the first things we're doing is we have a cost of doing business campaign, which Maxine has been leading, which has a whole series of tools and resources on our website, looking at things such as supply chain challenges, labor shortages, and you know, also what you can do in terms of the wider business environment to make sure you're match fit. Second, we are launching a report next week with EY called Powering Growth, trying to raise awareness of different forms of finance that are available to firms. So what we saw during the crisis is the Bounce Back Loan Scheme in particular was vast, just under 50 billion to well over a million businesses, particularly at the small and micro end. Provided a vital bridge to a lot of firms. But what that meant is markets like invoice finance actually really dried up. So a lot of that working capital thing, so finance not based on capital repayments where you're repaying a debt, but finance based on your order books and other things, that market really dried up. What we're seeing in recent months is actually invoice finance and other forms of working capital that is starting to return back to full health and can make a real difference to firms where you're trying to manage some of these competing cash flow pressures. So we're trying to raise those awareness, and we'll be launching that report next Tuesday with the Small Business Minister, and that'll be available for all of you to sort of look. And that complements resources such as the British Business Bank's Finance Hub. The CBI is a strategic partner for that. So the British Business Bank, which had a significant role in the pandemic, guaranteeing a lot of the loan schemes, delivering the government guarantee there. They have on their website, they have a huge portal and resources about what different forms of finances are, with breakdowns and videos and that sort of thing to explain how that can work for your business. And then finally, we, as well as that wider cost of doing businesses campaign, the resources around the different forms of finance available to you, we are launched a campaign recently called Winning with FinTech. And what this is about is there's a whole range of financial technologies that have developed in recent years, collectively known as FinTech, which have brought huge process improvements and other things. So a lot of our members these days, you increasingly use sort of alternative lenders to banks for their finance. Actually, if we look at the coronavirus loan schemes, 40% of the coronavirus business interruption loan schemes, that was the original SME loans, were delivered by alternative lenders. So there's been a huge growth in the use of that sort of fintechs, as it were, there. But then there's a whole host of other businesses that can help automate processes, help with things like global trade, help improve how your payments are operating and all that sort of thing. So the CBI is launching a rolling campaign over the coming years with toolkits and other things across these different areas to help you sort of engage with these companies, find out about more of what they got to offer and how they could make a difference within your business. So those are some of the things we are doing to help. But overall, how can we get immediate cash flow support to members? Well, the big message, and I think Alex is going to talk to in more detail about this, is carving out that time to think ahead and speak to your lenders and advisors now to get ready. Secondly, a big thing that we really want you to do to get ready for what's coming down the tracks is making sure, as well as you've got those conversations that are going ahead, that you're also looking at where your pressures for your own business particularly lie. So really engage with people like the CBI, looking ahead at what are the different pinch points and challenges could be in the months ahead to make sure that you sort of really going, you're focusing on your growth and that you are prepared for what is coming there. And then finally, do what you're doing today, as I said, sort of getting involved with the CBI and other business groups to make sure you're going. But underneath that, there is this whole point around guarantee schemes and is there need for further support? So building on the coronavirus loan schemes, we had the recovery loan scheme. And this was initially designed for sort of a 6-month period after sort of the pandemic. It's now continued for a while longer and has extended following CBI calls to still the end of June. We're now pushing for a further extension to the end of the year. We believe the latest figures that has helped around 16,000 firms access 3.6 billion And typically for businesses that otherwise wouldn't have had finance. Now, we've called for that extension because we could think it should help firms. And we spoke with the British Business Bank, who sort of, in their view, believe that the rise in energy bills qualifies as an output from the coronavirus pandemic. It's a legacy issue from there because of some of the issues of demand and other things. And therefore, that loan scheme can be used by firms to help deal with some of those energy costs. So the CBI has been working actively with a range of partners to call for that to continue. But then we're also calling for a long-term successor to the recovery loan scheme, a growth guarantee scheme, to provide that kind of confidence to underpin the wider lending market for the long term. And what that would do is it would basically be for those firms that were a bank or someone might say no initially, actually with a growth guarantee scheme, that no becomes a yes. And so to try and provide some of that long-term support. We've been working with people like Responsible Finance. They're the body for community development finance institutions that help a lot of underserved communities. Actually, 9 out of 10 of CDFI customers were previously turned down by a bank. So they make a real impact. But then also working with people like Innovate Finance on the fintech side and UK Finance on the bank side to sort of really push for that long-term successor to help us in the months and years ahead. Now, our discussions with government seem promising. There's some building blocks that need to go in first, such as the UK needs a new subsidies regime to replace the previous EU state aid framework. Now we're out of the European Union. So some of those building blocks need to be in place there. But the discussions with government have been encouraging. But ultimately, the big message is whilst the guarantee scheme can be there when things go badly wrong or help those firms that are struggling, really the big message is how do you get yourself match fit and how do you use the resources? So part of this push around using things like fintech as well is to really dig into the data you have in your business about how you are working with different suppliers and other things to demonstrate how you are actually doing well. And we've done a series of workshops with people like credit reference agencies and others, also insurance brokers and things, to look at the data you already have in your business and how you can make that work for you. So to empower you to use that data to turn no's into yeses and help you get the finance you need to keep growing. That's it from me, Maxine. A bit of a canter through a wide-ranging sort of agenda there. I think it highlights the range of pressures, you know, coming out with that COVID pressure, now hit by these supply chain pressures and labor shortages, compounded by the war in Ukraine. But the big message is think about what's coming down the tracks, look at your data, look at how you're working today, and speak to your advisors now to sort of make sure you're ready for what may be coming.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris. Great scene set there. I'm sure that relentless treadmill that you referred to will kind of resonate with people on the call and really useful to set out those steps that people can be thinking through. So let's turn to Alex now. So Alex is going to give us more of that ground insight on the tools that SMEs are using and deploying to manage their cash flow and help you think through maybe a little bit more about how you can understand your cash position, understand and manage the kind of debt and the support available for firms. So, Alex, over to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Maxine. And thanks, Chris, for setting the scene. At ABL Business, we are independent commercial finance advisors, and we are dealing with businesses on a daily basis that have these cash pressures. With everything going on, one of the biggest benefits that we see is that a business can speak to somebody, an advisor like somebody at ABL Business, and go through all of their options. So one of the biggest things a business can start with is taking control. So it's really easy to access finance facilities when you're not in a crisis situation. And if everything that Chris has pointed out actually does come to a head in the next 6 months, businesses don't want to be looking at trying to access finance or for working capital or for facilities at that point. They should really be looking at it now. Input inflation has increased by 18% for businesses. So that's, you know, a huge leap on costs and things to get them before they actually do any business. So take a look, take stock, take responsibility and look at the next 6 months' cash flow. Understand your pressures, understand your trade cycle and your cash cycle. So you really, really are informed as to what kind of cash gaps and working capital facilities you may need further down the line. Now, when you're looking at your cash flow, look at the cash drivers. So how much credit do you get from suppliers? How much credit are you giving to your customers? But then also look at the actual reality. So you may be giving your customers 30 days, but they may actually only be not paying you for 45, 50, which actually increases the time that you are getting actually access to your cash. This is a real issue. At this point, many businesses are acting as a bank for their clients because you are facilitating and helping them to spread their cash out. So you could be forward thinking and you could actually approach your customers to say, you know, you need to get a grip of your cash and understand your trade cycle and cash cycle and introduce them to somebody like ourselves to be able to work with them. But pent-up demand post-pandemic means that businesses are really, really busy. So they've got lots of business coming in, an increase in need for cash. And we're seeing, as Chris said, an increase in invoice finance facilities, people looking to actually get cash, get their cash brought forward. An invoice finance facility will basically give you, in easy terms, 85% of your invoices that you've invoiced on day one. So rather than waiting 30 days, 45 days, you're actually bringing the cash forward. It's also a really good facility that grows with the business. So as business increases, you've got no capital repayments. It's a facility that will naturally grow with the business. And it's secured on your customers, so not particularly on the strength of the business. So many businesses have really, really struggled throughout the pandemic. And we've seen lots of businesses being able to access finance post-pandemic, even with the recovery loan scheme. And one of the biggest bugbears for a lot of businesses has been, well, the recovery loan scheme has been there to actually support businesses trading out of the pandemic. But in reality, it's still only there for businesses that actually can't afford to make the repayments and show serviceability. So when it comes to trying to get input of capital in a business that maybe have traded difficultly throughout the pandemic and is now growing at a rapid rate, an invoice finance facility is a really useful way of getting access to that cash, allowing you to bring cash forward, but also negotiate with your suppliers. So if you can get a discount, if you're paying them earlier, and it's really, really thinking about using finance facilities to work for you. So not just putting them into the business because you've got a cash flow problem. Actually, how can you utilize them? What can you do? Now, this brings me on to, Chris mentioned a lot about fintech and alternative finance and how alternative finance have provided 40% of all coronavirus at CBILS loans, which is massive. And, you know, that is testament to actually how much availability and how many options are out there at this moment for businesses that need access to cash or working capital. But the difficulty comes when you're actually looking at those options and how do you understand which options are right for your business, who you should, which lender you should be working with. And we work with businesses to review all of the options. So we're doing a lot at the minute of reviewing current facilities. So businesses may have taken out a CBILS loan. They may have had historical loans prior to the pandemic. And it's actually looking at and reviewing at these facilities, making them work for you, just like you review your suppliers and your different cost bases. You can do that with your finance facilities as well. And as the market has proliferated, there are lots of different options at the moment. So VAT and corporation tax, Chris mentioned that now there are no more deferrals, people need to pay it. But actually, it's a huge cash outlet to the business either every quarter or at the year end. Now, there are facilities that specifically fund VAT and corporation tax payments. So you can spread out and budget. You are still covering your liabilities with HMRC. You are, but you're able to budget. And we are looking at businesses and telling them, if you can spread out as much as you can, that's the best, because you know each month how much your payments will be, rather than waiting to the end of the quarter and a big cash lump sum going out. So reviewing current facilities and looking at your options, and VAT and corporation tax is, and it's a relatively unknown facility, And you don't need to sign up to lengthy agreements. You can fund one VAT quarter and not the next if you want. So if you've got an immediate cash pressure and you have to pay your VAT, which, you know, you need to do that, you can just fund that one quarter. You don't have to sign up to every quarter. And we're seeing a real increase in businesses using that at the moment because it's quite a smart and easy to understand line of credit. Also, purchasing assets, if you're buying a fleet of vans or, you know, you're improving machinery, don't use cash out of the bank. Look at asset finance, spread it out. Yes, there's a cost to it, but actually, what is the cost of not having the cash if in 6 months you make a big capital payment, expenditure payment, and then you need that cash within the business? So it's just really thinking strategically about what the business will need from a finance perspective over the next 6-12 months and looking at the facilities that can help that. A lot of these facilities can be used together, so they're not mutually exclusive. You can have an invoice for finance facility and fund your VAT. It's working out what actually works for the businesses, and every business is individual. And we at ABL, that's what we do. You know, we'll look at businesses, we review their strategic plans from a finance perspective. We work with them on an ongoing basis to make sure that these facilities fit. Also, a facility that you was in prior to the pandemic, you know, some businesses have done really, really well. If you've done really well, but you had a facility prior to the pandemic that you've not reviewed, you could get a better deal. You know, you could improve on the facility or increase the limit, the prepayment limit that you get. So it's really thinking about your finances strategically and looking at it and taking control. When we're talking about the different options, I've talked about asset finance to spread out, VAT and corporation tax, but also overdrafts. So banks in recent years have really pulled back on offering overdrafts. And actually now there are some non-bank lenders that offer overdraft type facilities, but without the bank, outside of a traditional banking situation. And again, it's just looking at the options. We, as a business, work with businesses and finance companies. We're on the panel of all of the mainstream lenders. We actually can go to a mainstream bank or move your whole banking facility, or look at how we can work with different lenders to get the right facilities in place for you to enable you to grow your business. The key thing is that you're not always comparing apples with apples. So finance facilities are difficult to compare because there could be hidden charges or APR is not a way of measuring finance facilities. So as personal lending, we will look at that and be able to assess, look at facility and be able to assess on APR. Whereas when it comes to commercial lending, there are arrangement fees, exit fees, non-utilization fees, all kinds of different layers of fees where you may look at the APR and think, oh, that's cost effective, but actually behind it, it could end up being not cost effective. So it's just finding an advisor, somebody like ABL that can sit down and work with you and go through everything. And then at least you know that you've taken control and you've got the right facilities in place should the problems in the next 6 months arise, like Chris and the CBI and the economists are predicting.
Fantastic. Thanks, Alex. That was really, really practical, really useful. Use finance facilities to work for you. I think just, you know, setting off with that mindset feels like such a positive. Okay, we are going to start opening up for questions. Just before we do that, just say one comment coming in on the chat, Alex, to you was, I've used ABL and simply put, they save my business. Can't oversell how many innovative finance options that Alex has put in front of you. So that idea that there is probably so much more out there than people realise and that might be on their current radar, which is great feedback.
Thank you very much.
In terms of questions then, one to start with for you, Chris. I guess for those firms that have been hardest hit and they're very in the kind of here and now, How can those firms kind of manage immediate concerns whilst also kind of keeping that eye on the longer term and plan for that?
Well, look, I think the first thing is, you know, act early. Now, that's very easy to say when your head is down and things. But I would say that sometimes people can get preoccupied with aspects of the business and ignore those finance fundamentals. So they can be preoccupied with hiring in the staff, doing the daily grind, whilst actually they're sitting on a big financial problem and they know it's there in the back of their mind. They're just not carving out that time. They're just not taking that first step immediately to take that head on, because pretty soon that finance problem will be something that snowballs and can sort of eclipse all the other problems you've got. So act early is definitely one of the things. As soon as you sort of feeling, actually, I think my cash flow balance is like tipping out a bit, take those first steps. And what's that first step? Well, it's talking, really. I think seeking advice. We've spoken about people like Alex and brokers, but also a lot of the banks directly, your existing relationships there. The size of the COVID loan programs mean a lot of the banks have overhauled how they work with their SME populations. There's use of more technologies and other things. So, you know, pick up the phone if you can, use that, start talking to people. Also speak to your accountants and other intermediaries that you work with, your lawyer or accountant or other things, and see what they've got to say. They might be able to connect you in with someone like Alex or bring some of those ideas that weren't there for you. So that's with the immediate crisis. But the other thing then, I think, is actually, as part of your business plan, carving out that regular time in the week where you dedicate to your finance and your cash flow. So you're looking at, who am I working with? What existing facilities do I have? Where should I be looking next? Trying to build that into the routine of doing business. And I think that'll pay off in the long term. And often you hear from very successful entrepreneurs and others, they took finance very seriously early on in their journey, and they use that as an essential part of driving forward their business. And that can open up your eyes to new technologies, new ways of doing things that can make a real difference to how you're operating and help you get that edge. So yeah, acting early, seeking that advice, talking, and then putting in your business routine, that regular time to plan. And through that planning, you'll start to get more insight of how you can sort of make your data work for you and other things to get you the best deals and give you that edge.
Thanks, Chris. And I might actually just come to you, Alex, on the same point to see if there's anything you'd add to what Chris has said. Just before that, just to encourage everybody on the line, if there are questions, no matter kind of how small, or any kind of clarifications that you want on anything that's been said, please do kind of pop it in the chat and we'll come to them. But Alex, is there anything that you'd build on that? I guess it's very easy at the moment to be stuck in the here and now and in the short term.
It is, and I think many businesses will have maybe turned to their banks or looked for quick finance options to try and plug a gap. And I can't stress enough that there are lots and lots of options out there. And actually, even if you have been turned down by your bank, you know, I sit on the board of the Business Enterprise Fund, which is a CDFI for the Yorkshire and the Humber region. And they are specifically looking at supporting businesses within the local area. So there are CDFIs across the UK. So even if you've been turned down by your bank, speak to one of the, they have also advisors within the CDFI, but also speak to us, because there are challenger banks that can support businesses, and the options are vast. And it's just about understanding your options and knowing that one no does not mean no across the board, and that don't take that as a, well, I need to stop, or, you know, this is the business. Don't actually think, let me find somebody that can actually provide me with all of the options.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, there are a couple of questions coming in from the line. I might start with one, Chris, I think that's probably better for you. And it just says, supply chain issues are causing stockpiling. Is there specific finance for stock?
Yeah, there can be. It depends on the provider. So that is something we are noting, that particularly use of increasing use of working capital, other things, is so people need to buy in bulk to get discounts, and then they have to sort of secure the right storage and that sort of thing. So there are appropriate forms of finance that can be focused, but typically people use just normal facilities to do that. But there are specialist providers out there that can help, and people sort of your brokers or can sort of direct you there. And also on the British Business Bank's Finance Hub, they have information on some of those specific types of finance for that. So there are a range there. Yeah.
We have actually funded a number of stock purchases recently from stone for marble worktops through to manufacturers' stock widgets, you know, it can be funded, and it can be funded through your bank facilities as well. HSBC are really strong when it comes to stocking and trade finance. So yeah, again, speak to an intermediary and they'll be able to give you your options.
Brilliant, thank you. Okay, coming back to, it's not a question but more of a comment, Chris, just saying, we can't afford to support the cash pressure inflicted by some unscrupulous procurement strategies. Do you want to say a little bit more about what the CBI is trying to do to help on kind of prompt payment and the procurement front?
Yeah, it's a huge issue, actually, because often we business practices really play into this. So the CBI is supported a number of campaigns such as Good Business Pays, and works with people like the Small Business Commissioner on this. And actually, we do hold our members to account as well and sort of say, look, they should be leading from the front on some of these issues as responsible businesses to do that. And then we work with the government as well. To highlight how, you know, prompt payment code and other things, how we can sort of give that more teeth and make it work better. But I think procurement practices in particular are going to ride up the political agenda as a way that they can sort of help people. Well, we saw an interesting shift actually in the pandemic where there were more larger firms start to take a more active interest in their supply chain to ensure that some of the specialists in there survived. And that was a kind of cultural change. And I think that's going to be accelerated by the whole sustainable finance agenda, where actually investors are going to be looking at how larger firms treat their supply chains and their procurement practices as a kind of mark of them as a kind of sustainable business. Because actually, if they have a scorched earth policy, then, you know, and they're sort of really punishing payment terms and other things, that's really going to make a lot of firms suffer. And then in the end, they won't be a sustainable firm because they won't have the supply chain that they necessarily needed. So it's something we're very alive to and working hard with a range of stakeholders on, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I think, do flag to us if you do think it's an area we can help kind of put pressure on firms with. So Alex, one for you. So with potential increasing insolvencies, what's your view on using credit insurance to cover your business against your debtors becoming insolvent?
I think credit insurance and invoice finance facilities are a bulletproof strategy, really, for you to be able to manage the creditworthiness of your customers, but also get access to your cash. You can look at insuring your creditors if you're not using invoice finance, but them two facilities together mean that you have an understanding of the creditworthiness of your customers, and you also get access to cash upfront, so the likelihood of any bad debts is minimised. Again, we work with credit insurance providers as well and support our businesses that we work with to introduce the right credit insurers to the right business.
I'd just say, Maxine, we've done some specialist webinars on trade credit insurance. It's a really important part of that sort of cash flow balance, and they play a vital role in keeping a lot of supply chains moving. So, yeah, definitely a way forward.
Perfect. We might be able to send some kind of links to some of that in the follow-up as well. Great. One more here that's coming on the line, which is just sort of, would you encourage businesses to invest in reviewing their credit management processes and staff skills? Is there a kind of staff skill issue in this as well? Alex, do you want to take that first?
Yeah, I think any investment in a business is positive. You know, if you're invested in your staff skills and you're getting more knowledge and more data about how your systems and processes work from a financial perspective, I think that can only be a good thing, particularly as there's a rise in use of fintech. As Chris said, you know, there are many more tools, digital tools that businesses can use, then the staff need to be able to use those. And the digital skills gap is a real issue for individuals across the UK. So I would say, yeah, that would actually make a business stand ahead of their competitors if they invested in staff and their credit management skills.
Excellent. Well, maybe just one final question then for both of you, just to finish things off. What do you think are the key things that either government or industry can do to alleviate kind of some of the pressure coming up the next few months? I guess if they're kind of, what would be the one or two big things? Chris, should we start with you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the big thing, and this is part of the CBI's overall campaign, is like a lot of this is out of the government's hands, right? It's global economic pressures. But what the government can do is ease some of the friction and try and not create stumbling blocks. So this is a big push for us in trying to create a sort of permanent investment deduction to help firms, to encourage investment where we can. But for the SME population in particular, you know, hopefully Help to Grow has been an interesting scheme. How do we roll that out, make that more even more accessible to firms? So that's giving them the skills and other things they need. But then also making sure there's the right guarantee schemes in place, because whilst not all firms might not need them, it does play an important role in trying to shore up that confidence. And I think that sentiment piece, that perception versus reality point, that's going to become even more important in the months ahead. So anything government can do to support that confidence. And that also sits with business as well. So as I said, making that finance as part of your sort of business strategy, investing in the skills, investing in the data, making sure you present yourself in the best possible light to act early, getting that advice you need and making sure you can get ahead in challenging times.
So thanks, Chris. And Alex, anything that you would add to that or one big ask that you'd have?
I think really the next few months are critical in that we're trying as business owners to understand what the post-pandemic world looks like from a business's perspective, you know, increased flexibility for employees, understanding these pent-up demand and supply chain issues, and it's really just trying to work within that framework and really from a government perspective. There's lots being thrown at businesses at the minute. You know, we have the race to net zero, levelling up agenda, we've got taxation increases coming, new Associated Companies Act next year. And I think really, if I could ask anything, it's just for the government to just take a step back and look at exactly what pressure is being placed on businesses right now, particularly SME businesses, and think about those SME businesses and who those businesses are run by. You know, they're run by individuals, they're not large corporations, and yeah, just to just take a look at it and really understand the pressures that are being put on businesses over the next 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to say, from the CBI's point of view, that's absolutely what the SME team is here to do. And please do, you know, reach out to them on those pressures, and we will keep making sure that view is fed in and reflected in the CBI's policy work to government. So we've come to the end of today's session. Alex and Chris, thank you so much. Lots there that was really, really quite practical and useful. I might say, actually, if we can get this kind of written up, there were so many tips in it that I think it would be really useful to sort of share it in written format as well. I think the one big thing I kind of took away is just take control. It, you know, the ball's in your court, get ready, get match fit. So thank you again. Thank you to all of you for joining us. So next month's webinar is on the 23rd of June. It will be on trade and opportunities to sort of utilize exporting to stabilize and kind of develop your growth. So the SME team will be in touch with those details, but please do follow up with them if you want to kind of get ahead on that. And that's it from us. So thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the session, and we hope to see you next month.